I want to give you guys one more handout. Hopefully there's enough, but we can maybe take one and pass the other way. And that's for your homework sheet. We're going to do it a little different this time than we have in the past. You know what, like I said earlier, one of the benefits about taking a class is you get to know people, you get to ask questions, and not just questions. Sometimes people have input. Like you might, you know, we hear something and then, you know, Jerry might say, oh yeah, and that kind of reminds me of. So it's this a conversation that we don't get to have, you know, in a regular service. And then the whole aspect of being in a class where, you know, they're taking attendance and they're having quizzes and there's homework involved and, you know, there's books that you have to read and things like that. And so all it is, if you wanted to, you can go and do this completely on your own, read these books and all that kind of stuff. But what this is just a friendship where we get to do this together. And there is an element of accountability. And in many senses, that's really the benefit of the class. Hopefully, you guys are going to be blessed by the different guys that come in and teach throughout the year. Not just me, you got other guys as well. I'm going to try to be here, at least in the beginning of the class, just to say hi, maybe take attendance, see how you're doing. But then we'll have different guys doing the different teachings. So it's going to be cool. I pray that you guys would commit to it. And I think if you do, you're going to be blessed. Whatever your struggles may be. You know, we have different struggles represented here. The answer to all of them is the same, and that is getting to know God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, seeking Him, drawing from the wells of living water on a daily basis. You guys know this, right? When Jesus called us to be disciples, He didn't say do it once a week. He said, and I'm not trying to put you my pressure, this is from Him, daily. It's a daily decision to follow the Lord. So that's the discipleship. That's the how it all started. And so we'll talk about that today. And so we'll go over this handout right here and kind of let you know what the requirements are. Attendance, the class normally meets on the first Sunday of each month at 2 p.m. January through November. So there's no class in December. If you're absent, your absence must be an excused absence. There's got to be a valid reason. And so we're going to take it seriously. We're not going to let you get off the hook. And, you know, we want you to really make sure that you don't let the enemy rip you off. Because how many of us here don't feel like it sometimes? You know, we get tired. You know, we got like a little, I got a headache. It's only a one Advil headache, but still, you know, you don't go to class. So we'll keep you accountable. We're not weird, but, you know, if what ends up happening is that if you are absent, notice it says right here, you have to listen to the class on CD or online, preferably online, and then you turn in your applicable homework and paperwork within 2 weeks of the class you missed. And if you're absent three times, you will not receive a certificate of completion of the course. And so like John said, if you want your ID, you know, you might be able to be absent once or twice, but that's about it. And you have to make up all your work. Yes, Greg?
Does the wedding count?
Oh, that's an excused absence, okay. Definitely. So what we're going to do, and we're going to do our best, and I'm asking Ray and Henry and these guys, John, for help, is after the class, we'll make it available online. So you go to our website, and you just click on resources that says Christian ID, and you'll have the audio there and a downloadable for the notes. Okay? We're also doing something different this time around where we're going to plug you guys all into our class. We're going to upload the stuff online, and you can check how you're doing as well. Everybody's going to get their own password type of thing. And so let's see how it works. Keep that in prayer. So we want you to be here, attendance. So letter B is Bible reading. So once we establish your goals in Bible reading, you will turn in a report each month on how you did the previous month. And that's the handout that we just gave to you. And so we've, like, changed this as the years have gone by to now it's this sheet. And I think this just makes it easier because we get different, you know, formats and people don't know how to do it. So here's the thing, okay? Let's just say you want to read through the Bible in a year. That's a lot. I mean, I've done it many years, but you guys might not have the time that I have. You might want to just read the New Testament in a year. Or the Lord may lay it on your heart to read the Bible in 3 years. That's between you and Him. He might say to you, I want you to just read your Bible 20 minutes a day. So that's something that you have to determine. You have to ask Jesus, Lord, how do you want me to do this? I don't want to tell you what to do. We don't want to be weird like that. Because I've learned how intimate and personal of a decision that is. But I've also learned that if you don't have any plan whatsoever, if you don't have a time with the Lord in the morning or at night or noontime, then to me that's a train wreck. You have to have something. So if you're reading through the Bible, don't feel bad if, you know, you put down on there, I read, you know, half a chapter that day and half a chapter that day. Don't feel bad. Just put down what you read. We're not here to judge you on that. That's between you and the Lord. But do write down what you read. And if you're not reading, a week goes by and there's nothing on there, then you get to see it. You're like, man, I've been a whole week. I haven't even been in the Word. Don't worry about what I think. Oh, man, he saw it. I mean, maybe a little bit. No, I'm just joking. Don't even worry about that. This is more for you to be able to see. And don't do it, though, for me. You know, thank God for teachers. Thank God for friends that keep us accountable. There's a place in our life for that. But you have to do it for the Lord. Say, Jesus, you know, you were nailed to a cross for me. I owe you my life. And, you know, you say in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly and stands in the path of sinners, he's in the sorrowful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I mean, this is his love letter to us. And you can talk to any Christian, and they'll tell you that that time in the Word where God speaks to you is a relationship. Why wouldn't you want that? So everything else you hear, even the preaching from the pulpit, you don't know. You've got to test it according to the Bible. You hear the Bible studies, or some people, they're into daily devotionals, and they read one verse, and then, you know, seven paragraphs of man's word. That's not the same. So have a conviction where you get into the Word. Like I said, it's between you and the Lord. But so you're, each month you'll turn in that sheet. And so the sheet's pretty simple, right? It gives you the day. And I mean, if you read like 37 different things in the Bible that day, you don't have to put them all down. You know, but generally speaking, whatever, however the Lord's leading you in. Yes.
So just to be clear, we're not doing a journal? Just the sheet only?
Yeah. Yeah. We might have a little bit on the journal later, but that's the one that gets turned in. I mean, you know, do you guys have journals? Do you guys have? That's cool. Some of you guys know what that is. Tell them a little bit about what that is, Jerry.
Well, I just bought one today. I don't spell good. I don't write good, so I don't usually take notes until recently. I think you mentioned it in the study, so I started. And then I always teach the kids to take notes, so I'm doing it myself. So I bought one today for the class. I mean, it's just one of those things where I think, like I shared today, you know, there's always the extra and extraordinary, and either we're ordinary, we're going to do the extra sometimes and discipline ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, I journal. I do. But, you know, if the Lord shows you guys to do that, that'd be cool. Christian book reading. So we have our attendance, our Bible reading, Christian book reading. So you'll be required to read one book every 2 months, except for the end. You start reading one book a month, like the last 3 months. And turn in a 2-page book report on what you would consider to be the highlights and or the synopsis of the assigned reading. And so for those of you who've already read the books, you might want to read something different. And so we'll talk, you know, on that as far as the specific books assigned. So the first book that I would ask you guys to read is called 30 Days to Understanding the Bible. 30 Days to Understanding the Bible by Max Anders. And you have 60 days to read that book. So it's due the first Sunday of March. And it's a cool book because it has a lot of fill-ins. And you kind of get a general idea of the whole Bible. So again, 30 Days to Understanding the Bible by Max Anders. If you want, you can talk to Pastor Henry, and you can order the book through us. We get a 40% discount, so we get a pretty good price on that. I don't know if we have any right now.
What I'll do is I'll just order some and have them. It's a good book for the library.
Yeah. So who here thinks they need a book? And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay.
And just so you know, we get a 40% discount, but sometimes I found that if you see it on Amazon, you might even actually get it for a better price. So I just want to let you guys know. You know, when there's a church not making money on the book, we're just getting it for you. So you might be able to get it at a better price.
Okay. Yes, Jerry. The first Sunday of March. I don't know if anyone has that date. So just a little word of advice. Don't wait for the first Saturday of March to start reading the book. I'm serious. One of the most disciplined things you can do is just start plugging away at the book. March 3rd. So, have you guys ever noticed that the word discipled and discipline are related? So you end up disciplining yourself. And so what I do is I try to read a half hour a day of a book. And when you do that, you're going to start, you know, you're going to make progress. You'll actually read books and maybe even increase. The Lord will show you maybe a chapter a day. And the books that we're reading, you guys, are books that they're good books. You guys are going to love that first one. So let her see, well, what exactly is a disciple? The Greek word, is that where we are? No, we're not there yet. Okay. Let's get into the concept of discipleship. And so let's turn to Luke 14. Luke 14, if we actually pick it up in verse 25, it says, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And so letter A is Jesus called us to be his disciples. His disciples. So you're not disciples of men. You're disciples of Christ. Look at verse 33. Oh, wait a minute. He says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." So it's heavy, huh? Heavy when you look at that right there. Number one, we're his disciples, but number two, the conditions of discipleship. Now, of course, you know in verse 26, He's talking about hating father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and you're like, whoa, what's that about? What does that mean, you guys? We know it's a Jewish way of communicating what? Does it mean that we're literally supposed to hate them? No, what is he saying?
He's saying that if we love more them than God.
Right. He's saying we can't love anyone more than him. And he's even saying that there's to be no comparison. There's to be no rival thrones. To where it's like, you know, God's here, but then my husband's right there, you know, or wife's right there. He uses the word hate to the point where, you know, your love for the Lord is incomparable to anything else. And so he's calling a pretty heavy thing, you know, this is the terms of discipleship. Because what can happen and what can get in the way is you put a person before the Lord, and if you put husband, wife, children, self, anything before the Lord, and the Lord knows, because if he could have like a, if we could see like a, an x-ray of our life, if there are people we love more than the Lord, it's there. It's just a reality. So the Lord's first, you know. And so these are the terms of being his disciples. We're his disciples. And make sure you guys never consider yourself a disciple of men. Well, I went to that church where he was the pastor, so I'm his disciple. Absolutely not. You're a disciple of who? Christ. Okay. Second thing, letter B, is Jesus called the church to make disciples. So Matthew 28, and this is a very familiar passage to us. In verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What's this usually called, you guys?
Great Commission.
The Great Commission, right? And so right before Jesus goes, and in Matthew's Gospel, we see it also in Mark's, he says, this is what I want you to do. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Not converts. Disciples. And so this is our calling. And, you know, teaching them, you know, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And that's kind of what this class is all about. You're going to learn about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You're going to learn about the essentials of the faith. You're going to learn the things that Jesus commands us. And then it's kind of cool because it's like, lo, I'm with you always, even in 2019 in El Monte, of all places, man. I'm with you to the end of the age. So what we're doing right here, making disciples, is we're trying our best to fulfill the Great Commission. We can't, when I got saved, I went to a church, and I took classes. So what God does is he teaches us that church, all the different things that the church offers. And you come on Sunday mornings, and you come to a Wednesday night men, or you go to a retreat, or you, whatever it is. All that is part of making disciples. That's what we do as a church. We offer classes. We offer opportunities like this. So this is why we do what we do, because he has commissioned us to make disciples. And right here, what is he uses the word teaching. Teaching them. And so that's what we do. We try to. And so the next letter, letter C. But what exactly is a disciple? And so the Greek word translated disciple, mathetes. And I've always been fascinated by the fact that the word math is in there. I'm like, it's probably learning or something, right? It's found 269 times in the New Testament, always translated disciple, and refers to a learner or a pupil. And so disciples are Christians who are students of Jesus, those who have chosen to follow him, to be with him, sitting at his feet, learning all that he has to teach us. And so it's kind of cool, like, to hear some of these people that have been walking with the Lord for a while. They're in this class, and they're still learners. Huh. We're disciples, and we're learning, and we're growing closer to Him. To me, it's a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Because in those days, you had different rabbis, and they would sit at their feet, they would learn under Gamaliel, whoever it is. For us, we're sitting at the feet of Rabbi Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and we're His disciple. And so there's a lot in the Bible about this, but here's just a few things. Disciples are called to forsake all sin, to make everyone and everything else subservient to Jesus, to be with Him, to learn from Him, to follow Him, to go where He leads and be as He is. That's what following Jesus means. Keep in mind, we are not cloning people to be like us. Our prayer is that people will be all that God has uniquely designed them to be in Christ. So one of the really cool things is when you really like develop a friendship with someone and you're going, you know, taking their class or whatever, I think it's not good when that teacher clones that person. You want them to be all that God made them to be, and they might have different personal convictions. They might, you know, be different. When the teacher gives them all their personal convictions, that's cloning them. So you're a disciple of Christ, and it's going to be exciting to see what God does in your life. Letter D, we see discipleship is intense. So Jesus did not water down discipleship, huh, in the least, and neither should we. Luke 14:26, we read these passages right here. If anyone comes to me and does not, you know, love his father and mother like less than me without there being any question about it, that's what he's saying, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What does it mean to bear your cross? Deny yourself. So when yourself wants to do something that's contrary to the commandment of Christ, you deny yourself, right? And what was the cross? It was an instrument of death. Now, a lot of us here, we're probably not afraid to die as much. Let's just say someone came over here and said, okay, all of you here, renounce the Lord or we're going to cut off your head. What would you guys do? You let them cut off your head. Because it's quick. But what about renouncing the Lord or suffering? That's a different question, isn't it? We don't want to suffer. Tell me about the cross. What was it like for Jesus? Pain, humiliation, a spiritual battle that we will never even begin to understand. We start taking up our cross and then we throw it down. And that's why, you know, we're not being the disciples that He calls us to be. I think, you know, that the humiliation part, you know, Isaiah 53, it talks about when He was being crucified and they mocked Him, He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was silent. When you're silent, when someone's trying to push those buttons, you're taking up your cross. But when you lash back, what are you doing? Yeah. So just know these are the terms of discipleship. And whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And so there were times where people would say, Lord, we'll follow you, but let me do this or that or the other. And the Lord says, okay, then forget about it, you know. So letter E, discipleship is done closely and personally. Closely and personally. You're going to see that. You know, one of the things you'll discover about Jesus is the way he was close to those he discipled. He would pull them aside and take them away from the crowd and teach them privately. You guys remember the way that he trained them? He just said, I've chosen them to be with me. That was how they were learned to do ministry. That's how they learned to be not only disciples, but apostles. They were with him. And so later in the book of Acts, you know, when the religious leaders saw them and their boldness and just the work that God was doing through them, it was undeniable. The only explanation they had to put this all together was that they had been with Jesus. They were untrained and uneducated men, but they were anointed by God. And he said, they've been with Jesus. And it hasn't changed. And you may not see Jesus here physically, but he's here. And when you spend time in your word, he's there. And when you're drawing near to him, he's there. So this whole thing about being discipled, it's the same thing. You know, it's very personal. It's very intimate. You know, I can't disciple anyone, really. Because sometimes you'll hear in Christian circles, oh, that person discipled me and that person discipled me. But it's not really like that. I mean, hopefully, if the Lord brings those types of relationships into your life, it's the Lord used them, maybe, but they're just vessels or instruments or tools or weapons. It's Jesus who disciples you. It's Jesus whom you are a disciple of. And you want to be close to him. Because if you get close to someone else, I mean, praise God for his grace in our life, but you're going to see all their flaws and you're going to be disappointed. But you'll never be disappointed with Jesus. So there's a lot of things I could say about that, but I just want you to know that right here it says the Lord does the same with us today, just as Jesus spent time with his Father alone. If we are to know God's will and have any hope of doing his will, we must cultivate time with him every day. And that last one, discipleship is daily. Remember that passage? If you would turn real quick to Luke chapter 9. In verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So it's not like you reach a point where, okay, dude, I did it, I'm done with it. It really is a daily thing. Proverbs 8:34 says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Do you guys believe that the Lord maybe might have a word for you or direction for you each day? You remember in the Old Testament when they were there and God would give them manna each day? And, you know, he said, I want you guys to go out and gather it every day. And remember what they told him, but don't try to gather for tomorrow, just today. But you know what they did, those rebels? They're kind of like us. Well, I don't feel like going out every day. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard. I got things to do around the house. And no offense, but, you know, I got children and, you know, all these things. And so I'll gather a little bit extra today. That way tomorrow I don't have to do it. And you guys remember what happened to the manna? I don't remember exactly what happened, but I know it rotted. I think there was little, worms. And so you have to do this each day. Now, I want to make sure that it doesn't become a legalistic thing. It's not just like, okay, I read my Bible, I checked off my chapter, and I'm good. It's more than that. It's like a daily heart check. I want you guys to know that if you miss a day, God still loves you the same. Okay? If you miss 2 days, no, I'm just joking. His love for you is not dependent on your behavior. So it's not like that. Don't think that. And I also don't want you to think that your salvation is dependent on this. You know, you're saved by your faith in Christ. So simple. Like a child can be saved. So don't think of it that way. Think of it more along the lines of growing as a disciple. Think of it more along the lines of seeking Him. And as you do each day, then the more you know Him, you guys remember I always tell you this, the more you know Him, the more you love Him, the more you love Him, the more you obey Him. I really think that that's biblical. So anyways, many have compared this to the daily manna provided for the children of Israel on their way to the promised land. It might even be the daily bread that Jesus spoke of in the model prayer. And so when you get a chance, I encourage you to read Psalm chapter 1. And so let's real quick go over this quiet time. You know, we call it quiet time. We're asking you to try this for the next month. It's imperative that the time is alone with God. Do your best to have a place and time where there are no interruptions. Part one is read the Bible passage assigned for that day or for the time period you've committed to. Part two is write down, type out, somehow record the key passages, meditate and pray over those passages. God and you will be conversing. A good handwritten journal might be best, but you also might want to use like a good app like Day One. Part three is spend some time in prayer. Let your requests be made known to God. Pray for whomever you are responsible for. Pray for yourself. Remember, you're just lifting up your request to God. And that's really the simplicity of it. In the past, we kind of got more in detail in that. But let's talk a little bit about this before you guys go. Okay, your quiet time with the Lord. We call it quiet time. Why do you think it's important to have a place that you meet with God? Some of you here, tell me your places. Laura.
Something good could distract me. Because I just want to be able to hear Him keenly. You know, and it's important.
Yeah.
To know His voice.
What are some of the places that you guys have where you meet with God? Some of you have an office. Most of us don't. I have an office, so. What else? What are your bedroom. Do you have like, when just curious, do you have like a little desk? Or no?
No.
Okay.
Because it's not that big enough, so I do it on my bed.
Okay.
Not down near my bed. Yeah,
I remember that time, I think it was Elisha. I'm not sure if it was Elijah or Elisha. And they talked about when he would travel, and he would always stay at this lady's house. And he said, I just want a table and a lamp and a chair. And I've noticed that that's kind of what all I need is a little table, a lamp or chair, or just something where you can be with the Lord. For me, you guys have heard me say a million times, I go in my garage and I have a table in there. And, you know, I have to wake up before my family does, because otherwise they want my attention, and it's hard for me to say, too bad, so sad, I can't spend time with you because I'm with God right now. I really have got convicted of that. I can't. So for me, I got to spend wake up earlier. Laura was mentioning no distractions. Be careful with your phone. Be careful. I mean, I think it is rude. Imagine I'm talking to Greg right now, and then I just start, he's like pouring out his heart to me, and I whip out my phone and I start text messaging someone else. So I don't know. Again, I don't want to overstep my boundaries, but try it. Try it where it's just sanctified time, you and the Lord. It's harder when you have little ones, Mary. I understand. The Lord is gentle. It is harder. Yeah, same thing.
Finding your place, your quiet place. Sometimes I'll even, it could be 10 o'clock at night, take my dog outside.
Mm.
She's doing her business, and I'll just sit down there, even if it's for 10, 15 minutes, just to spend quiet time. Because there's nobody there, no distractions, everybody's like,
when you guys pray, do you pray out loud to the Lord?
It depends. If I'm alone, I do aloud. If there's people in the house, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I like praying out loud. But that same thing. You know, if I'm in the garage, I just get up, start talking to the Lord, and get on my knees, just different things. And I just, something, that's why some people, they're like, man, I really don't know what to pray. I don't, what do you do with all that time? And once you start praying, you're like, man, I don't have enough time.
God gives you to
pray. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, are you guys, do you guys kind of have like an appointment, like a set time where you do it? Is anybody here? You're right before work, huh?
Yeah, like by 6. I get to work half an hour or as early as I can. Then I have about 30 minutes because I clock in at 6:30. So, first I pray. I made a new rule towards the end of last year is not to check anything on my phone other than turning off my alarm and putting music on. And then I don't check my phone until, unless there's like an urgent text too. But I don't look at my phone, like, you know, social media and stuff until like 12 now, because I don't want to be distracted by that. I just want to, first thing I want to hear is, well, first pray, then worship, and then I pray as I drive to work, and then pray again, and then read, and then pray.
Mm.
It's been like an all-day thing, because what's cool about my work is I have a lot of free time with my student, because it's academics, and then he gets like a big break, so then at that time I could be like writing or praying in my head.
Cool. And everybody's different. Everybody's different. The Lord shows you. This is God's word to us. I mean, when as we go through our class, we're going to study more about what the Bible is. And you're going to find that every jot, every tittle is inspired. The smallest Hebrew letter, smallest Hebrew grammar mark is all inspired. It all comes to pass. So when you're in the word, I hope you know how precious it is. You know, and I think that if you saturate yourself in the scriptures, I just a personal thing for me, is that when I first got saved, the Lord gave me that conviction to be in the Word every day. And I can honestly say that in looking back in the 30 years, that was the key to my life, to God's grace in my life, my time with Him. And a prayer life is a challenge. For some of you here, it's not. Like, I think for some of the ladies, they're just better prayer warriors. But don't ever give up on your prayer life. You know, keep trying to pray and learning how to pray. So the following is an excerpt from an online article. Many of us want to impact the world like Martin Luther or others, but we don't seek God the way he did. And so notice what he said. He said, a quiet time is simply being intentional about having a conversation with God. This usually means listening to God's voice by reading the Bible or devotions and speaking to God through prayer. Jesus did this numerous times in the Gospels, sometimes slipping away all night or in the early morning to spend time with his Father. My favorite description of this kind of conversation came from Martin Luther, whose barber asked, "How do you pray?" Luther explained, "A good barber must have his thoughts, mind, and eyes concentrated upon the razor and the beard and not forget where he is in his stroke and shave. If he keeps talking or thinking of something else, he is likely to cut a man's mouth or nose or even his throat. So anything that is to be done well ought to occupy the whole man. How much more must prayer possess the heart exclusively and completely if it is to be good prayer?" When Laura was talking, the one thing that came into my mind is what's called undivided attention. That's so rare nowadays. So rare. But I've learned it, and I'm trying to get better at this, especially with my wife. You guys, if you're married, guys, a lot of times we're guilty of not giving our wife, when she's talking to us, the undivided attention she needs. So I'm just confessing, okay? But how much more so with God? Anyways, for most people, the hardest part of a quiet time after actually finding the time is fighting wandering thoughts. So Luther instructed his barber not to pray long prayers. A good prayer need not be long or drawn out, but rather it should be frequent and passionate. And what should you pray about? Just your personal needs and worries? No. Who likes people who only talk about themselves all the time? Luther suggested a way for quiet time to be a two-way conversation. Pray scripture. And so I encourage you, pray who you're responsible for. If you're married, you should pray for your wife. If you don't know what to pray for your wife, then ask her. You know, spouses, how can I pray for you? Or just ask the Lord to show you. Pray for your children. Pray for your pastor. No, I'm just kidding. Pray for your church. And then before you know it, just adoration, confession, thanksgiving, so much. So anyways, we could be here all day. Homework is your Bible reading report number one. And start reading the book, 30 Days to Understanding the Bible. Okay? All right, so if you didn't already sign this attendance sheet, please sign it. Oh, yeah, and if you guys want to eat lunch together next time, see Laura, and we'll do that. Hopefully we'll be able to get that squared away. Any questions? Yes, Greg. Yeah. If you could turn in those information sheets. And what I'm going to try, and you guys got to pray, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to be able to put everything online. And if we do, and if we have your email address, we'll email you your password just so that you can see you're on the class. And then as assignments start rolling in and homework and all that kind of stuff, you'll be able to see where you are in the class. Okay? At the end of the year, if you finish, we'll give you guys a certificate of completion. But that's not what it's about.
So with this Bible reading sheet,
for some people that are going to read just the Testament, or how does that apply with this?
It just means you write down what chapter you wrote, read.
That's it. Okay, so.
Matthew 1 and Matthew 2 or whatever. Yeah. Okay?
Is the idea to go in order or just wherever we're reading?
Wherever the Lord leads you guys. But we just want to be able to, so you to see what you read each day. I think that is easier to do. Any other questions? Pray for each other. Okay, pray for the person to the right of you. And if they're not here next month, I'm going to blame it on you.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, here's it. Oh, that's right. I'm glad you asked me. Next month there's going to be a quiz. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. It's going to be easy. It's going to be so easy. The only thing you're going to have to do is read through your notes. If you read through your notes, you'll pass the quiz. Okay?
So it's not multiple choice.
Yeah, and it might be multiple choice, and it might be true and false, stuff like that. Yes, Lydia. No, if you've already read that book, 30 Days to Understanding the Bible, and you would like to read something different, let me know, and we'll pick a good book as an alternative. So no, we'll get you a different book to read. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be able to just have an opportunity to seek you, Lord. And I know, Lord, in all reality, I think in many ways you're the one seeking us. You love us so much. It's just so wonderful how gracious you are. I do pray for my brothers and sisters that you would bless them abundantly, that as they're reading, as they're praying, it would never be a drudgery or a duty, but it would be a delight, that they would taste and see that the Lord is good. You are so good. I pray, Lord, that as they read your word, that you would just show us Jesus and give us the real truth of the scriptures in their context, but also give us, Lord, personal words for our life. I just pray for them. You bless them and protect them. And as they read the book and hopefully make it back next month, Lord, that you would be glorified in their life. So we love you and thank you. Make us disciples, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.